Right. Hopefully I'm 100% as well. There we go. That's for later, by the way, in case you wondered. I didn't expect that. Actually, I forgot it did that when you switch it on. And when you switch it off, it's a much sadder sound. Or if you try and unplug it, it doesn't like that. Psalm 91 is the most powerful prayer of protection. I read, though, a skeptic. It's good to be skeptical. I think I'm becoming, like our conversation yesterday, a bit more cynical, really, which is being negative about everything, isn't it? It's a problem about age. But skeptical is good. It's good to be challenged and think. And he was saying that perhaps this is a failed promise, this psalm, from the Bible. It's a scandalous thing to say, perhaps. And after reading this psalm, I can see their point. It says repeatedly, if you trust in the Lord and say he is your refuge, no harm will come upon you. No plague, no misfortune. However, looking around at the lives of fellow believers, the opposite seems to be true. As many encounter these issues in life, what does this psalm mean? And why does it seem to contradict what we see? I think some of the answers to these questions lie in the context, as it always does with scripture, of this reading. We've heard from Caroline last week and a praise this morning from Pauline that the Psalms are a collection of songs. And if we go way back in church history in this country, we didn't have hymns. They used to sing psalms as hymns. They're a collection of songs written to help worshippers experience, and in this case, this psalm helps worshippers experience a reenactment of their nation's history with their God. Now, the psalms are divided, as we heard, into five books, and Psalm 91 is set right at the start of book four and retells the story of Israel's wilderness wanderings in an idealized and poetic form. It is anonymous and timeless. It is thought to be written by Moses, but people are not sure. And perhaps being anonymous, it makes it more accessible for that. It is timeless. It speaks to us today, as we've just been hearing. Notice how there were references to pestilence and plague, like those wrought on Egypt, and also arrows, like those of Pharaoh, who was pursuing Israel. The ark that went with them was sheltered under the wings of the cherubim, and it was followed by a pillar of cloud and fire that sheltered the people. To the Hebrew mind, the word shadow always means protection, as in Psalm 121, for example, as we've just heard. They survived a plague of serpents, and an angel went ahead of them. Notice how in the psalm, they will not strike their foot on a stone. And in their wanderings, in fact, their clothes and sandals never wore out. Psalm 91 is often considered what we call a messianic psalm, meaning it contains prophecies about the Messiah, namely Jesus Christ. It speaks of God's protection and deliverance, themes that we as Christians believe are fulfilled in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The devil attempts to use the psalm to tempt Jesus in Matthew 4, verses 5 to 7. He challenges Jesus. It says in Scripture, you will not strike your foot upon a stone. But in fact, the devil misses a bit out, because the Scripture goes on to say, and guard you in all your ways. So even the devil recognizes this Scripture and its prophetic nature. So in context, Psalm 91 is not really a set of promises for any person, anywhere at any time, but perhaps, and a way of understanding it and helpful, I think, it's an invitation to look back on your own life and see how God has brought you to where you are today by God's protection. So, this psalm does not promise that bad things will never happen to you, and it portrays your life as a complex emotional journey throughout all of which we can express ourselves to God. In other words, God's been there protecting us, perhaps even when we didn't know it. I like that idea, actually, trying to understand the psalm. It's also a prophecy. Perhaps it's a prophecy as to how things ought to be. That's the other way I look at it sometimes. God is our refuge. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. In reflecting on the psalm's poetic metaphor, I wondered about the people of the earth who've never sat down on the dusty ground within a naturally occurring rock shelter, found refuge in a cave or a rock overhanging them from a thunderstorm, or walked through the gates of a human-made fortress of stone meant to protect them from enemies both unseen and seen, unknown and known. Some have had these experiences. I suspect many have not. I suppose I've sheltered in a storm or tempted to in a cave or a cleft in a lock somewhere in Dartmoor or whatever, but that's the nearest I can come to it. Under a slide, we did as we, a couple of days ago, didn't we? A children's slide had quite a good roof. Yeah, that's an analogy. So the Lord will protect you under your children's slide. That would be a modern version, wouldn't it? For the people in the Middle East, of course, the idea of rocky outcroppings protecting and providing shelter from the sun, hot sun or enemies, would be well known. In fact, they regarded the sun, like the moon, as a potential threat. Yet, unlike a rock shelter or fortress that can be overrun with a degree of effort, this psalm declares that God cannot be overtaken by anything we may encounter that threatens our lives or the lives of those we love. The notion of God as a protective refuge sort of provides a mental image that goes well with the idea of a rock shelter or fortress. So it's to do with context. To the Hebrew readers of this, of course, they would immediately see the metaphors. But I'm sure we can think of similar ones as ourselves, if we've just done. Also, the psalmist, whoever it was, may have been hoping to convey something about how the life of faith works. Regarding the Lord as your personal refuge is a decision to place your habitation, your life itself, in a place that cannot be broken by the strains and stresses of life. God's love, where it is found, it's found in relationship. God's protection is found in relationship. And God has a commitment to people who are in relationship with God. Prayer to God is a means to calling on God, and God will provide an answer. However, there is no assurance that answer will be yes, it may be no. And then we will need to trust that God knows better than us. The whole subject of unanswered prayer is a subject in its own right, a sermon for another day. I think in part the psalmist is affirming that God will be with the people in trouble, but they may not make the trouble go away. So God will be with you in trouble, but because of the mystery of our faith, maybe the trouble will not go away. God will deliver and honour those in relationship and provide a means through the trouble. God will satisfy their faith or with life abundant and grant them salvation. And maybe, as perhaps we've mentioned in the prayer meeting this morning, there's an eternal perspective perhaps to this. Where is God? One of the curious things about the Psalms, as we've said, there's often a declaration that if you trust God, then no harm will come to you. And unfortunately, experience teaches us something different. I've already alluded to that. People of faith do get illnesses and disease. They are crushed in spirit by what people have said, physical and emotional issues, and die as a result of violence. People who have our faith, of course, around the world are encounter starvation and lack of food. So what do we make of the assertions of these psalms? I've certainly met one or two people who've actually said the reason they've never had illness in their life is because they've had such strong faith. Maybe that's true, but I struggle with that somewhere, and this is the issue we're looking at here. But of course, we know people of faith who have experienced difficulties, and their theological ideology, as it were, if you can use that term, didn't preserve them. So what's the psalmist's claim about? And I think the clue is as to perhaps what I said at the very beginning, that the Psalms are a set of poems. They have a poetic meaning to them. In other words, you need to look at the text from the vantage point, not only of the context, but of the language used and the way the text is written. And then perhaps the murky water does become a bit clearer. Maybe the declaration in this psalm isn't about you as individuals, but it's you in a plural term. It's not about you and them, but it's a reference to plural you. Calling people to commitment is a common refrain in the Psalms. The people of Israel had a tendency, as I suppose as we all do, like all people in all ages, to become sidetracked and distracted in their faithful following of God. And this idea of corporate life, this psalm is speaking to the people of God as a plural you. Committing corporate life to God is a greater calling, perhaps, than a solely personal view. One, God's love is for the people, and God wants to rescue, protect, deliver, honour, and satisfy those who love God. There's a relationship at stake here. It isn't simply a matter of me being right with God, it's a matter of us being right with God. The psalm pushes the boundaries. And we can discover something about the refuge of God that can cover more than one of us. It covers everybody. So in conclusion, the refuge that is found in God alone will sustain people even if the body is destroyed. And that's perhaps speaking, as I alluded to earlier on, the idea of an eternal perspective here. This refuge will provide rescue from those things which would harm our relationship with God. The refuge is precisely this. It's a refuge of solace, perhaps, that can provide an inner strength to endure the harshest trials of life. So in that sense, God's presence is a refuge. Since God is ever present in all circumstances of every waking and sleeping moment, then there is a refuge that one can experience here and now, and in the future yet to unfold. God is our rock, shelter of hope. And if you have Jesus Christ, you have a new identity in him, and you are in a permanent shelter with Jesus Christ. As I said at the beginning, Psalm 91 is perhaps the most powerful prayer of protection. And I thought it would be good to perhaps turn it into a prayer or meditation. So what I'll do is just read it through again. We won't have the text on the screen. And either regard it as a prayer or a meditation, just listen to the words, by sort of getting to know the psalm, it helped me as well. So I'll just read it through again and perhaps use it as a prayer or meditation, these wonderful words. Whosoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of my God, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God in whom I trust. Surely he will protect you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. A thousand might fall at your side, 10,000 may fall at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord is your refuge and make the Most High your dwelling place, no harm will befall you. No destruction will come near your tent. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up with their hands, so you will not strike your foot upon a stone. You will tread on the lion and the snake. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because you love me, says the Lord, I will rescue you. I will protect you because you acknowledge my name. You will call upon me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in times of trouble. I will honor and deliver you. With long life, I will satisfy you and grant you my salvation.